coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we are presented by our good friends at Alpha. We're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Mark Lassiter is getting an early Christmas. He's spending Christmas this weekend with the Christmas holidays with his mom and dad in Birmingham and his family. And so we wish Mark just the merriest of Christmases, and the holidays are full of joy and happiness for he and his family. And got Charlie in here running the show, and it's always good to have Charlie here. Lots of things going on around the state of Alabama, and we're gonna put you in touch with just about everything that's going on right now. We're gonna touch on everything that has gone on this past week. Reclassification's a big deal. We're going to wait till Mark gets in here, and we're going to spend our show next Saturday, which is Christmas Day, and we want to wish all of you out there a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays, and to our Jewish friends as Hanukkah approaches, and we just we wish you the best of everything that there is for you in this coming new year. We want to start off the program this morning on a sad note, and we lost a man in the last 10 days that has been just an amazing, amazing friend to Prep Sports Report. But not only Prep Sports Report, to high school sports in the Mobile, Baldwin County area for over 40 years. Tommy Lambert was born on August the 7th, 1948 in Uriah, Alabama. He attended J.U. Blackshire High School, and then he went to Auburn University, and Tommy would tell me intermittently he enlisted in active duty in the United States Marine Corps, and we shared that, myself being the son of a United States Marine, and Tommy would always pat me on the back and say, Semper Fi, kid. And he went to Auburn University, worked for the Alumni Association there. He had friendships all over the Southeast and all kind of connections to Auburn University. And he loved that kind of work, and he did that kind of work his entire life. He eventually moved to Montgomery, he met his wife in Auburn. He went to work for Alpha Insurance, and that's kind of where we got really started. He was a Southern Regional Manager for the state of Alabama, and he moved to Mobile, and he lived here for the past 40 years and worked as an insurance sales rep for Alpha. He survived by his beautiful wife, Geraldine, his two sons and daughters-in-laws, Jim and John, and his wife, Chastity, their daughter, Anna Page, and his brother and sister-in-law, W.D. Lambert and Wanda Frazier Lambert. Tommy left a profound impact on so many throughout his lifetime, as his love for people and relationship building was extraordinary. This morning's Prep Sports Report is dedicated to the memory of Tommy Lambert. His buddy, his dear buddy, a guy that was like a brother to him, Jim Sudahase, of course, spent many years at the high school that Tommy Lambert absolutely loved, and that was Murphy High School. He supported that school in every way a booster could support a school and those student-athletes. And to see the relationship that he had with those coaches, he would do anything in the world to help those coaches, do anything to help players that were in, you know, needed rides, anything that those kids needed. Tommy Lambert would facilitate Murphy High School to the best of his ability. And his love for people was evident in everything that Tommy Lambert did. It was always an honor to see Tommy. I mean, whether it was at a gate coming in a high school football game or on a football field. And the relationship he had with Terry Curtis for years and years, and Jim Sudahase and that entire Murphy family was something that was an example for so many people for so many years. We're all going to die. And if we all die with the legacy and the friendships and the input and the effort that Tommy Lambert put into helping people, we will all die with the legacy of good and noble job when we meet our Heavenly Father. So Tommy Lambert, we can say goodbye for right now. But thank you for what you've done for so many people. And thank you for being there when many people needed you to be there. And for always, always having a kind word and having a pat on the back for people that sometimes didn't get many pats on the backs. Tommy Lambert, a great American and a man who changed a lot of lives by helping people when they needed help the most. We'll see you on the other side, pal. Yes, sir, Tommy. War Eagle, buddy. God bless. Boy, big things happening in high school basketball as we move around. We had two teams playing in the Smoothie King Center over in New Orleans. Williamson defeated Spanish Fort 54-53 the other night. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you have two Alabama teams that go into New Orleans and play in the Smoothie King Center and play a barn burner game like that, just two great teams, and I'm going to tell you right now, two wonderful coaches that have done a wonderful job with those two basketball teams. Just an amazing, amazing basketball game. For the fans in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center who saw Williamson defeat Spanish Fort 54-53. You know, as you look around Mobile, we've got a lot of really good basketball teams. And Williamson and Spanish Fort are two of them. Of course, Philip Murphy's got a really good one over at McGill-Tulane. So if you get a chance to go out and watch some high school basketball, there's going to be all kind of high school basketball tournaments going on during the holidays. We'll have the William Mitchell Classic over at UMS Wright. Bayside will start their Admiral Classic on Monday. I think Williamson's going to play in that, by the way. But there's lots of really good high school basketball going on during the Christmas holidays, and we hope you'll get out and support your favorite team. Or if you just don't have a whole lot to do after you've finished your Christmas shopping, go over to one of our schools and watch some high school basketball. I promise you it's well worth the small amount that you pay to get in. And most places, I would assume now, are you can buy your tickets online. And so we'll try to facilitate that need as we go further on in the show. Last night over at Hancock Whitney Stadium, in a little bit of bad weather, the North defeated the South in the North-South All-Star Game, 14-10. Had lots of local players playing in that game. I know Robert Courtney from UMS was in that game, and we'll try to get a little breakdown on that game a little bit later on. I think one of the things that I get the most questions about this time of year is where are high school coaches going? We see a lot of jobs that are open, and two jobs that we're really interested to see what happens that are still open. Blount High School is open here in Mobile. I'm sure Principal Woods will have a recommendation to the board here pretty soon. Also, St. Paul's Episcopal School is open. Around the state of Alabama, we've got some jobs that have recently been filled. Of course, people wanted to know lots and lots of questions about a job in the Gadsden area. I guess there's a lot of Gadsden people that are from this area, but the Etowah job came open, and they filled that with Matt Glover. We'll talk a little bit about Matt Glover a little bit later on. The Dothan job has been filled. Jed Kennedy, who was the defensive coordinator for Rick Darlington over at Enterprise, has moved over to Dothan and taken the Dothan Wolves head football job, and we're going to get Jed on here pretty soon. He is a he's kind of a transplant. He's moved in from came to Enterprise with Rick Darlington, who now has moved to DeLand, Florida, and so that job is open as well. The Enterprise job is open, and that's certainly a premier job in the state of Alabama. And Jed Kennedy has left Enterprise as a defensive coordinator and taken the Dothan High job, where Smitty Grider has retired. Our good buddy Steve Mask is in the news as well. He just took the Pell City job, the head coach and athletic director at Pell City, and you folks are getting a gem of a football coach and athletic director. I can promise you that. And, of course, over at LaFleur, Renardo Jackson, who just did a super job for the state championship Vigor Wolves, has taken the job at LaFleur. We'll be back with more right here on on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report in just a few moments.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Let's cover a little bit of recruiting. And you know, we don't do a whole lot of recruiting. We kind of depend on our buddy Tom Luganville of ESPN that kind of sends us all the information, keeps us posted on things going around the nation. But we want to touch base on some of the things that I think are just newsworthy because people that follow recruiting keep up with these names. And there were some changes. There were some flips that occurred even here in the Mobile area that affected – recruiting news all around the nation. The biggest in-state headlines from early signing day really did come from Mobile and Montgomery, Alabama. In Montgomery, Pike Road defensive lineman Curtis Perry committed to Alabama. Boy, he's a big-time player. Had a chance to see him play in the Super 7. And as a matter of fact, we're going to speak with his coach this morning, Patrick Browning from Pike Road High School, but Curtis Perry to Alabama. In Mobile, Williamson linebacker Robert Woodyard flipped from Alabama to Auburn. Everybody around kind of thought that he was an early commit to Alabama. And at the very last minute, Coach Harson and his staff came in and actually did a great job. And Robert Woodyard, that outstanding linebacker from Williamson High School, flipped, changed his mind, which kids can do, folks. I mean, you know, verbal commitments before signing day, kids have that. I mean, that's just – that's what happens all over the United States. You know, they think they want to go somewhere early, and then they change their mind midstream. But Robert Woodyard flipped from Alabama to Auburn. Faith Academy linebacker Shamar James, who we didn't get to see a lot of the latter part of the season, was recruited by everybody in the country. He had originally he had committed to Florida. He decommitted, reopened up his recruitment, and I really thought at one time Kirby Smart and those guys at Georgia had a really good chance of getting him. Never really thought Alabama or Auburn was in the mix. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But in the end, Shamar James finished his day by recommitting to Florida and signed with the Gators. And then as you look around Birmingham, you know, everybody knows that Thompson High School is probably the premier high school football program in the state of Alabama right now. They had 8 young men sign. And the one that most people were most excited about, of course, the Alabama people were, was Jeremiah Alexander, probably the top defensive lineman in the state of Alabama this year. And I'm going to tell you, there's another one at his high school that's probably a little bit better than many people might know. Don't be surprised if they don't go in there and get another defensive lineman out of Thompson next year that's going to be one of the top defensive linemen in the country. Also, Alabama signed Emmanuel Henderson out of Geneva County down in the Wiregrass. Boy, he's a heck of a football player, heck of a running back. And so not only did they get Curtis Perry, they got Jeremiah Alexander. Alabama got Emmanuel Henderson. They also captured Traquan Fagans of Thompson, Kobe Prentice of Calera, Antonio Kite of Anniston. You guys up in central Alabama that listen to us, you know what kind of player Antonio Kite is from Anniston High School. Justin Finkley out of Hewitt Trustful. Boy, Steve Sarkisian came in and grabbed him right out of Hewitt Trustful out at Texas. So he'll be a Texas Longhorn. I think there were only 3 of the top 15 prospects. I know that the only 3 of the top 15 members or seniors in the state didn't sign on Wednesday. Caden Story, that big defensive lineman from Lynette, is holding off. Many people think he's headed to Auburn. Not sure where he's going, but he will sign a little later in February. Catholic linebacker T.J. Dudley and Gordo quarterback Tanner Bailey. All three of those are going to sign later. Of course, Dudley and Bailey were both committed to Oregon, but Mario Cristobal, of course, left Oregon and is now the new head football coach at Miami. So we'll see what happens to Dudley and Bailey. Now, Story, of course, had committed to Auburn early, but he decided not to sign in the early period. And really, we'll get Jason Caldwell on here probably sometime next week and find out what the story is with him. Probably the big in-state get of the day for Auburn was Robert Woodyard from right here at Williamson High School. They also signed a couple of kids from locally right there at Auburn High School, signed an offensive lineman who I really like, a young man by the name of Eston Harris. And then they signed Powell Gordon, the linebacker that everybody was recruiting. So those two guys have committed to Auburn. And Auburn also got Amari Kelly from Hewitt Trustful. Hewitt Trustful had about six signed Division I scholarships. So that's big. Auburn has had a great, great season. Keith Etheridge has done a great job there after moving in from I get tongue-twisted here calling so many names, but Keith Etheridge, of course, won state championships at Leeds High School, and then he moved over to Oxford High School. Now he's a head football coach at Auburn High School, and they had a plethora of players that signed. Now, two of his better players did not sign with Auburn. They signed elsewhere, but it wasn't really a surprise. And these two players, of course, didn't play for Auburn High School, but they were considered by many to be Auburn commits. Now, Auburn offensive lineman Drew Bobo, if that name sounds familiar, it is. He's the son of former offensive coordinator Mike Bobo, and Drew had originally committed to Auburn while his dad was the OC at Auburn, but Drew changed his mind after Mike resigned as the offensive coordinator at Georgia, and he's now on board with Georgia. Kirby Smart came in and grabbed a big offensive lineman right there from Auburn High School. Not a big surprise, but that was a turnaround. Of course, most of us were pretty certain that when Mike was no longer going to be on the staff at Auburn, that Drew would probably go somewhere else, and that's exactly what he did. He went back to his dad's alma mater and signed with the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, Fairfield's Jacoby Albert, who was committed to Auburn, and really Auburn loved this kid, he signed with Kentucky, and that's a big loss for the Auburn Tigers. Jacoby Albert's a heck of a football player. That's a young man that you'll hear a lot from down the road. Some other kids that you may have kind of tweaked your interests, Khalib Johnson, who led Clay Chalkville to the Class 6A state championship, signed with Louisville. Hoover quarterback Bennett Meredith picked Arizona State. He was committed to Northwestern, and we're going to talk to former Hoover football coach Josh Niblett, who's in the news this week. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we're going to talk with Josh Niblett at 9 o'clock. But his quarterback at Hoover did sign with Arizona State. A lot of people, and we've talked about Zach Pyron from Pinson Valley, great young man, tremendous student athlete, and Zach signed with Georgia Tech. And Connor Harrell, who was the quarterback for that dynasty over at Thompson, signed with the North Carolina Tar Heels. We'll see what happens with a couple of other kids a little later on, but there's going to be some more that sign, of course, in February. Trevor McAlpine, a local guy here, played for Jeff Kelly over at Sarah Land. He signed to play at Texas Tech, and, boy, he's a heck of a football player, and you'll want to keep an eye out for him as well. Trevor was not the only Gulf Coast player to sign with Texas Tech. Gulf Shores' Tavares Elston signed with Texas Tech as well. Evan Smith out of Oak Mountain, and a good little running back from right here at McGill-Tulin, Braden Turner, signed with Northwestern. Madison Academy, you folks up in Huntsville that listen to us, Madison Academy, Deuce Spurlock signed with Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Not very often does Michigan come into the state of Alabama and sign players, but they signed a good one from Madison Academy and Deuce Spurlock. And in West Virginia, boy, you think about West Virginia, I can't help but think about Pat White, who was a quarterback there for West Virginia for so many years and probably could run for governor in West Virginia. Great player out of Daphne High School. West Virginia came in and signed Saraland wide receiver Gerald Williams. And Cincinnati, Luke Fickell came in and signed Central of Phoenix City, J.Q. Hardaway. So that's pretty much the run from the state. Like we said, eight players from Thompson signed, and that's they've got a heck of a program going over there. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We want to wish you the merriest of Christmases and hope that you get the opportunity to spend your Christmas with your loved ones. We'll be right back with more right here on Prep Sports Report with Patrick Browning, the head football coach at Pike Road.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pumps Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. You know, local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for your business. Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people to assist you. You know, in coaching, we always say it's all about the relationships. And both Braxton and Jimmy have those connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. You know, when you talk about high school football programs, one of the programs in the state of Alabama, and I know you folks up in Huntsville have said to me and have asked many on many occasions, tell us about Pike Road. We don't get a chance to see them very often. And us, the folks here in Mobile, hadn't had a chance to see them. We saw them at UMS Wright a couple of years ago, and they were really – they were injury depleted a little bit. And I know Coach Browning and that staff brought a team down here to play McGill Tulane early in the year. And you're talking about an offensive, I don't even know what to call it, explosion or whatever. But put a lot of points on the board early in the year. And Coach Patrick Browning has done an amazing job at that school. And I get asked a lot, Coach, where is Pike Road? Well, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to welcome Coach Patrick Browning into the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. 20 years strong, coming up starting 1st of August. And we'll just ask Patrick exactly where Pike Road is located. But first of all, we want to welcome Coach Patrick Browning, the head football coach at Pike Road, the 5A state champions. We'll get him to tell you exactly where it is in just a minute. But first of all, Coach, welcome to Prep Sports Report. We're glad to have you on. Maybe a week later than we had planned, but congratulations anyway, and Merry Christmas to you and Jenny and Luke and Joseph.
Man, I really appreciate having me on this morning. Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
Tell our listeners exactly where Pike Road is, because, you know, even as an old Montgomery boy, I'm not exactly sure that I could drive directly to Pike Road High School.
Yeah, so a lot of people coming from Auburn, they'll pass through Pike Road going to the beach. Pike Road's located east Montgomery County. It's its own city school. It is located in Montgomery County, so it's a unique situation. You know, the MPS has dominated the public school market for as long as I've been alive, and that rivaled with all the private schools in Montgomery. I mean, you're looking at 10 high schools, you know, by just alone with combining both private and public. So we're in a unique situation in the fact that we're a city school with one superintendent, one principal, one town council, one board that's focused on our school system and growing Pike Road.
You know, we're on in Montgomery. As a matter of fact, you can get us on 98.3 right there in Montgomery, 98.3 FM, which comes out of Sylacauga. And we get lots and lots of information coming from your area and how proud people are of the job that you guys have done there. Of course, winning a 5A state championship over Pleasant Grove at Super 7, played right there in Birmingham. But give us a little bit of your background, Patrick, and tell us a little bit about how you got this this niche for coaching and how that got started for you.
Well, when I was a senior in high school, I'll never forget we lost to Woodland in the semifinals when I was at Clay County, and that stuck with me. So when I got out of high school and got into college, I wanted to get into coaching right away, really at first, because I had the itch to get back around the game. And went to Auburn University as a volunteer student assistant. I don't know if you call it a ball boy or go get water for the coaches or whatever you call that. And that was a good experience to get my feet wet, just to be back around football. And from there, went to a local high school, actually, under Schmitty Grider. He was the coach that gave me my first opportunity to actually coach a position when he was at Beauregard High School. I stayed there several years. Then I actually had the opportunity to go to Dayville as an offense coordinator. And we had, Coach White, he gave my first opportunity to coordinate an offense. And we had a lot of fun and a lot of success while I was at Dayville. Then I had a unique opportunity to go to Texas and coach college football at Prairie View A&M. I had a buddy of mine, Noel Mazzoni, that hooked me up with Marco Orlando, who's offense coordinator out there. Hasheen Northern was the head coach. They hired me to coach quarterbacks. We had a great year. Then shortly after that, Pike Road, I was contacted by some people that knew me in the area, and they asked me if I have any interest in starting up the program. And I was a little bit hesitant at first because I didn't know what all that entailed. And it all worked out, and we ended up coming to Pike Road, and we've been here now for 6 years. And you could see the growth every year of the program. It's been definitely a fun journey, to say the least.
Well, there's no question you can see the growth there. And so I guess what we could say is you're on Danny Horn's coaching tree, right?
Yes, sir.
That's a pretty good one to come from. To be a limb on that tree is a pretty good one. And of course, we thank the world of Danny. And, the combination of Ashland and Lineville. Now, were you there when it was a single high school, or was it when they combined?
Yeah, so what's funny is I was there when it was single, but when I was at Clay.
We're losing him.
That first, Clay County squad that formed, and it was definitely a heated rivalry. But Coach Horn, when he went back, he did an outstanding job of bringing that those two rivals really together, and he's obviously y'all saw the success he had in the first 2 years, especially when he went back to Clay Central.
Yep. Well, I can tell you right now, many of us thought that would become the dynasty that they did become when they put those two schools together. But very few people, growing up in Sylacauga, I know exactly how those people didn't in Ashland and Lineville, that a lot of them didn't exchange Christmas greetings or birthday greetings. And when the football game was played, that was a slobber knocker. I can tell you that, and you know that very well.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about this football team that you had this year. You had two really, really good players. Well, you had more than two good players, but two that really came to mind for me was Curtis Perry and Quishon Judkins. And Perry's a heck of a football player. Now, being an old offensive line coach and trying to figure out schemes and You know, it'd be tough to because you move him around a lot, and he's just a heck of a football player. Talk just a little bit about Curtis Perry, because a lot of our listeners don't know what us coaches know about this player. He is some kind of special player. Of course, he must be. Nick Saban had him at one of the top players in the state of Alabama and in the Southeast and in the nation. So talk just a little bit about Curtis Perry.
Now, Curtis, first and foremost, he's a great kid. And I say kid, he looks like a grown man. He's 18 years old now, so I guess he's not a kid anymore. But he's a great person. He really has genuinely a good heart. He wants to help people. And on top of that, he's an extremely hard worker. You're going to see him early before practice getting work in. You're going to see him stay after practice getting work in. And if he keeps that drive, the sky's the limit for him. He's got the best first step of a defensive lineman I've ever seen. He reminds me of Aaron Donald, the way he can read the snap and explode off the ball and get that first step on an offensive lineman. He really progressed this year in using his hands. I think at the next level, he's projected more of a true five technique because of his pass rushing ability and his speed on the edge and his lateral movement. But, you know, for us, he was so strong. Like you alluded to, we can move him around fairly easy. You know, he could play depending on the sets and depending on how we were calling it that week. He could be anywhere from a zero to a shade to a three technique to a four all the way to a five. So he was very versatile for us and really was the backbone, so to speak, of the defense. And we had a lot of good players around him that constantly got better each week. But he really set the tone and the work ethic and the approach to practice and just our overall, you know, getting better each week.
Quinshon Judkins, I get tickled when these college coaches come sit in the stands. And Lane Kiffin, of course, came to see you guys play against Pleasant Grove in the state championship game. Talk quickly about Quinshon Judkins.
You know, Quinshon is a very special individual. He has a unique combination of both size, speed, and you know, lateral movements. His number one attribute is, I think, definitely his vision. He's a true zone runner. He can find creases and put his foot in the ground and get lateral, and back north and south very quickly. And you know, he's right at 205, 210 pounds, which you know, for an SEC running back, as y'all know, you've got to have that size to be able to take the beatings week in, week out. And you know, he really excelled his senior year.
Patrick, we're on a hard break, but listen, thank you for taking time out. We want to get back with you later, but Merry Christmas to you and Jenny and Lucy and Joseph, and congratulations on a state championship, pal.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We appreciate Patrick Browning. I'll tell you right now, that young man's got a great future in coaching. He is, he does some strange things with that offensive line. He moves them around, flip-flops them, but they have got a ton of talent at Pike Road High School, and I would imagine that they will be a force to be reckoned with, and I don't know that there's a better player that I saw all year than Curtis Perry. You Alabama folks are going to be excited to watch this young man play, and you folks over at you know, when I start thinking about Ole Miss, I think about the Grove, but you Ole Miss fans are going to be extremely excited and happy to see Quinshon Judkins play. Heck of a football player, and that's two of the more fun players to watch. Coming out of Pike Road High School right there, right outside of Montgomery. James, good morning, pal. How you doing?
Good morning, Nick. I'm doing fabulous on this little bit overcast, dreary day, but it's, you know, if you don't like the weather in Mobile, give it 10 minutes and get back with me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Got stuck in a mess last night downtown Mobile. Ooh. And they were having the bowl parade last night, and boy, you talking about trying to get out of Mobile last night was sight to see.
I was invited to come to join some folks down. I said, "You must be crazy."
Yeah. Yeah.
It's only when ducks won't fly in the weather, you know you need to stay home. You know?
That's exactly right. Were you happy with Alabama's recruiting?
You know, Alabama's recruiting continues to be there at the top. I love his positional moves that he made. I think before this is over with in the end and other players are added, portal and everything else, I just see them continue to do the same as they've been doing. Texas A&M, obviously, the Jimbo Fisher has done a great job in recruiting. And it's going to be an interesting Western Division, isn't it, next year?
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the thing that really interests me is to see what Jimbo did and then to see that the guy that started at quarterback – that happened to defeat Alabama this year, jumped into the transfer portal.
This transfer portal thing and what is going on, and this is, to me, like, Mark talked about this last year and a lot of other, you know, pundits and announcers and sportscasters, everybody, about what it was going to do to change the face of football. You don't have to look very far to realize that signing the contract he did and jumping away from Florida State and moving down – and the portal is just going to add. It's like having an NFL draft now every year. Just let me go pick a first rounder or second rounder. Somebody wants an opportunity to play, fill a position. And the fact that you can come to an Alabama, an A&M, or any school, if they have a shot at a national championship, you're going to have players that want to be on that wagon. They want to wear that ring the rest of their life. And so if you're in the hunt for the national championship now, you can rest assured that Alabama will have an opportunity to pick up portal players. Texas A&M. All these folks, and so it's going to be a real interesting and different. It's just changing the face of football as you and I have grown up in Mark all to know it, which sign of the times, move on, and do the best you can with it. But it's going to definitely change it, Rick. Tremendous.
Well, and when you look at this thing, and I guess the big news was what Travis Hunter did. And, of course, Travis Hunter was just a big-time defensive player out of the state of Georgia, had verbaled to – to Florida State and Mike Norvell. Those guys really thought they had him and couldn't find him the morning of signing day. And primetime, Mr. Aflac commercial, Deion Sanders went in there and really in football, the first HBCU five-star recruit that Deion's got a really good player now. I'm telling you, Travis Hunter's a heck of a player. Yeah, and going to Jackson State. Did that surprise you?
I think it surprised me. Yeah. I'll tell you, how would you like to be on the staff of Florida State? Kind of standing around looking at the wall. Going, yeah. What just happened? You know, and everywhere else. Yes. I think it was Deion's got a lot of he brings a different face to the game today. And I think he's going to ultimately be even. I mean, he's a great coach now, but I just think he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in college football. I do.
Well, and you know, a lot of the pundits out there saying now Mike Norvell just got a 1-year extension on his contract at Florida State, and that's good. A lot of people already predicting Deion Sanders to be the head football coach at Florida State, and he very well may be someday. But let me tell you this. It's a different world. It's a different world from the SWAC into,
oh, yeah.
You know, and not to take anything away from the SWAC, but that's a different world jumping into that arena, and he played in that arena, so he knows that. But Travis Hunter will be a great player, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, no doubt in my mind. You know, Rick, another thing. You talk about the transition from SWAC into the different, whether you go South East, where you go Florida State, any of those teams. It's no different than you see a lot of these head coaches from successful football teams. A lot of them from Alabama that move into head coaching positions. When you become a head coach, your duties and your functions change so much, and you're just not devoted to like a defensive coordinator, an offensive coordinator. You become an administrator, a recruiter, everything else. So has such a leap into that area, and the competition on the other side is more fierce. You know, at any given moment, any team in the SEC or anywhere else in these conferences are potentially playing for the national championship. So just jumping into the head coaching position that you just brought up, whether it be the SWAC or ACC or SEC or wherever, it's just it's a big change. I mean, you got to put your big boy pants on and be ready, you know, because not that he can't, but it's just a different venue. It's a different way to play ball. It's a different way to recruit. And so some people never make the transition, as we well know. I mean, it just is different when you become a head coach.
You know, I was in a golf shop, and a guy asked me, he said, "Coach, will Travis Hunter get the same kind of recognition that he would at Florida State?" And I said to him two names. I said, Walter Payton and Robert Brazil. Have you ever heard of those guys? They're in the Hall of Fame, in the National Football Hall of Fame. Where did they play? They played at Jackson State. Listen, there's lots and lots of great players that came out of Jackson State, and Travis Hunter might just very well be the next one. So that.
Well, you know, look at Southern Miss, and the quarterback came out of the pros, have gone brain dead. It came from Southern Miss. Oh my gosh, out of Mississippi. Was it Bradshaw?
No, it was Brett Favre.
Thank you, Favre. I mean, look at that. So you look around here. So talent is talent, and it'll rise to the top no matter what league it's in, and the recognition. And you know this, speaking to a lot of these college players that we all talk to, and their transition into the pros, it's a different league. And if you've got talent, you've got talent to play in that league. And if you don't, you might as well just, you know, you'll get you 2 years in if you can, but get ready to go home. You know?
All right, James, we're coming up on a hard break and going to news. But real quick, give me some info on some really, really neat, great Charleston Gas Lanterns.
Well, you know, Charleston Gas Lanterns is just we make it all right here in Mobile, Alabama. American-made products, custom-made. Come to us and, set an appointment up, come by and see us for any of your gas or copper, gas copper lantern or electric lantern needs. But, you know, yesterday I just got through development in the Cayman Islands, so we're everywhere.
I know that.
So we're grateful for our local folks too. We appreciate your business.
Take care and Merry Christmas, friend. We'll talk to you soon.
It's time for the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland here. Mark Lassiter is he's in Birmingham and spending time with mom and dad and family. And we want to wish all of you the merriest of Merry Christmases and hope that you will remember the reason for the season. The Reese's Senior Bowl Winter Classic for junior golfers is December 28 and 29 at Azalea City Golf Course. Proceeds benefit our friends at Larch Mobile. It will be a 36-hole ranked junior event for all our high school boys and girls. There are nearly 70 golfers registered already. Visit jimmygreentour.com to register your junior golfer by this Sunday, December the 19th. You know, one of the realities of life, Charlie, is that we all get older. And I picked up a newspaper the other day. I did not pick up a newspaper. I went online, and I saw where our dear friend Josh Niblett had retired. And, you know, I started thinking, that little rascal was just knee-high to a puppy when I first saw Josh Niblett. He and Tad were running around softball fields all over the Southeast, and Brenda and John were all playing softball for Billy Livens out of Montgomery. And Josh and Tad were two little rascals that full of energy, and, boy, I just – if it was a foul ball, they fought each other to see if they could get it. But he grew up and has become one of the premier high school football coaches in the state of Alabama and around the Southeast, and has built a program at Hoover that is second to none. And Josh has retired and has taken a job over in a neighboring state of Georgia at Gainesville High School. And, golly, we're so excited for him. And welcome back to PSR, Josh. It's a great time for you and everybody in the Niblett family. I'm so excited for you, pal.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, God's good, man. And you know, sometimes I think we don't know, you know, what tomorrow brings. And I think everybody always talks about that. But in this case, you know, the last couple of weeks have been a whirlwind. So I wasn't looking to go anywhere, you know, but I'm always praying about my future because I want to be where God wants me to be, and I always want to be where my feet are, not worrying about what's in front of me, and just felt like this was an opportunity to help my family and the future of my family, and but also continue to be able to coach and be at a place that, you know, that wants to win.
That's a pretty good place to go, Josh. I'm going to tell you right now, I think about when our children were small, we spent a lot of time at Lake Lanier. And so we're very familiar with Gainesville and Flowery Branch and that whole area up there. And, you know, one of the things, too, that I know you're going to take advantage of is the Falcons complex is not very far from you. I'm sure that you will pick a lot of people's brains and spend a pretty good bit of time around that facility, not only gaining knowledge, but I'm sure you'll give some input to a lot of people in that area.
Well, I hope so. I hope to get an opportunity. I'm always trying to grow and sharpen my edge. I mean, I'll learn something today by watching college football, and I'll write it in a notebook. So, you know, just always trying to find ways to get 1% better, and what a great opportunity that would be if I could be able to get in that facility and learn from those guys. But, yeah, what a great area, great community. It's a great surrounding area. I'm not real fond of, you know, when I have to drive back and forth right now just trying to get some organizational stuff done and getting stuck in that traffic for about 45 minutes each time. So, but, you know, before long we'll get settled in and we'll get over there in the first of the year and then we'll be ready to go.
You know, Josh, you can stay out of that traffic. You really can. You just stay at home. Stay in that area. You don't have to go into Atlanta.
Oh, that's true. Well, when we get over there, I promise you, this boy won't be going much out of the city limits.
Clay lives in Cummings, and I can tell you right now, that's the hardest part is just getting from the outskirts to Cummings. It's just hard.
Right.
Talk a little bit about the departure. Tell me about, I can imagine the emotion that was going through you and as you dealt with telling your Hoover family goodbye.
Well, you know, what an awesome place. I mean, I've been here 14 seasons, and you know, I didn't resign. You know, I retired, and you know, it's one of those deals where I didn't leave on bad terms. And, you know, somebody didn't ask me to step down, and you know, it's just one of those deals to where I just felt like it was a God thing, and then when I knew and I had a peace about it and a clear mind about, hey, this is what I need to do. You know, I knew the toughest part was going to be telling my players and coaches and then telling the people in the community, because, you know, I've coached some unbelievable players here. I've made some unbelievable relationships with people. I've tried to impact so many lives, but I've had so many lives impact me. And I've been able to coach with some unbelievable coaches and a lot of guys that are on this staff that'll go places, do things. A lot of guys that were on our past staffs that are head coaches and, you know, they're coordinators now or are doing something, and, you know, and the players. I mean, it's all about the players. I mean, you know, the Bible studies on Wednesday nights in my house, the opportunities just to sit down with them in my office or on my front porch and just talk about life. And I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss those relationships, but I'm going to build new ones. But the ones that I had here will always be special to me and always be special to my family. And I think that was the hardest thing is you know, there's a comfortability, I guess you could say, of the comfortable. And I'm the thing is here, like I live in an awesome home, and you know, we built 4 or 5 years ago, and you know, I'm in an awesome school system. I mean, I'm 8 minutes from the school, and you know, I wouldn't, if I stayed here, I wouldn't have to move. So there was a lot of things and a lot of variables that would make you just say, just, you know, be where you're at. But then there was also, you know, I'm wanting to grow. I want to help my family as much as I can. And I just thought it was an opportunity. I turned 50 January the 2nd. And so I think it's time that I needed a new chapter also.
You know, I would imagine one of the really tough things was looking at your dear friend Andy Urban in the eye and saying, it's time. And so talk a little bit about that.
We're best friends. You know, we're best friends. I mean, we're colleagues, and he's my boss, but we're best friends. I mean, and you know, and we conversed about this because he's kind of at that point in his career too. And, you know, I think it's neat when you have someone that you can talk to that can take their boss hat off and be your best friend and, you know, be able to give you some advice or, you know, kind of try to put themselves in your shoes to see what they would do. And, And that was one of the hardest parts because him and I spent a lot of time together. I mean, a lot of time. And I've coached his son. And so his wife and my wife are really good friends. And, you know, there are a lot of other good friends we're going to miss. But, you know, just the relationships that you build, I mean, that just lets you know. I mean, the other day when I told our players, you know, every one of them came up and hugged me and told me they loved me. And it's just how you know. One of our coaches said, Coach, this is how you know it's more than football, that that's what we've been able to do here. And so I've been proud of that. I just want to see those kids continue to grow. I want to see them continue to make great choices and continue to work hard and continue to go after that championship.
Well, and you know all about championships. Of course, your Aniana team won a state championship, I think, in 2004, Josh, and I'm just trying to remember.
That's it. Yep.
And then, of course, you've won, I think you've won five at Hoover.
Six.
Doggone, I'm one behind. I got to find that six. I thought it was six total, so it's seven total, right?
Yep.
Seven total.
Yep.
Doggone it. Boy, I'm telling you. I'll tell you off the air something that'll amuse you though. You still got a couple to go to catch us. I'm just telling you that. But I shouldn't say that. Not in football. Boy, I'm gonna tell you right now that you have set a standard. You and your staff have set a standard that I don't know that'll ever be matched. And really, I still say inner city Birmingham, even though it's over the mountain. You guys have been amazing. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about Gainesville. I want to talk about what you have seen, how you feel, what is the area that you're going to, or the region, however they do it over in Georgia. But I know this. I know that people, particularly in South Georgia, think the best high school football in America is played in that state. So I don't think you're going back down from any challenge. So we'll talk about that when we come back. But the other thing I want to talk about is that there's going to be a familiar face that's going to join your staff. And that's got to be something that's really pleasing to mom and dad. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We're talking to Josh Niblett, former head coach at Hoover High School, now retired, just took the job at Gainesville High School outside of Atlanta. And the Red Elephants have hired As Good As It Gets. And boy, you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, what a blessing is about to become for your children to play for one Josh Niblett. We'll be back with the second half with Josh Niblett, the new head football coach at Gainesville High School in Gainesville, Georgia.
Welcome back to the Charleston Guest Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Premier Collision is your home for all your auto body and collision problems. Good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town. Give Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500, located at 1177 Sledge Drive, for all your collision needs in Mobile. We're talking to Josh Niblett, the new head football coach at Gainesville High School. Oh, man, I still got to say on the shore of Lake Lanier, and I know it's a little bit of a piece from there. Flowery Branch is right up the road, but Josh, talk just a little bit about, man, you had I don't think you've ever had this. You had a police escort into there and into that high school the other day, and I mean, I had never seen anything like that.
Yeah, we hadn't either. I tell you, I was almost embarrassed, to be honest with you. And my wife's like, hey, man, she goes, you know what? You know, my mom told me 2 weeks ago, she goes, we were talking, and she's like, you know what? I think God's trying to bless you. When I was trying to make a decision on what to do. And I'm one of those, I try to be so humble that I know God wants to bless us, but I'm always trying to work to do something else. And so we all pray for blessings and we all want blessings, but then I think we all kind of get a little bit embarrassed by some of the things that you're able to do and when God blesses you. And so my wife's like, just enjoy it. Well, you know, as soon as we got out of the car, I had asked the day before, I said, do you think there'll be many show up? He goes, I'm just telling you, we're going to have to turn them back. And I was like, what?
And he's like, yeah, we're going to have to turn them back. I'm like, man, I mean, that's what you want to be involved in. I mean, that's the kind of community. And I think that's the biggest thing is I love the community. I love, you know, what they want. They're not that far removed from winning a state championship. But, you know, when I walked in, the people went nuts. And, I mean, I don't know. It's just crazy. And I'm so looking forward to it and so looking forward to the opportunity to get over there and get started and love on those kids. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people that were like probably, hey, you know, why would you leave Hoover or how could you leave Hoover to go to Gainesville? And, you know, everybody has their own issues. Everybody has their own problems. And, you know, one thing that we've got to do is we've got to get the discipline back and we got to make sure these kids understand, you know, what we're doing and the standard in which we do it by. And, you know, it's going to take a little time and it's going to probably get a little bit worse before it gets better. And there'll probably be a few casualties on the way. And, you know, I mean, just there's probably, you know, going to be some lessons that are going to have to be learned and, you know, some opportunities taken. And I think there'll be players that'll have to decide if they want to be committed to our standard and our process and what we do. And I'm just going to love the mess out of them, man. I'm just going to love. And I think that's what they need. And I think that's what they've been wanting. And so their community wants great football. I mean, they love football. I mean, they're not that far removed from 2012 when they won it all. They've had some really good players like Sean Watson play there and Blake Sims, A.J. Johnson. I mean, they've got some really good players that have played in that program, some really good coaches that have set the standard in Georgia, and they're the third winningest program in the state of Georgia. And so, you know, we've got to make sure that we work hard every day that, you know, we want to be the standard of Georgia and the gold standard and not just what classification we're in but we want to play great football and I think it's time and I think they're hungry. I think everybody's hungry from everything from the campus to the community. And so I'm going to go in there and I promise you this, I'm going to work my tail off and give us every opportunity to be successful.
You know, when you look at this program and you mentioned it, they are the third winningest program in Georgia high school football history. Now, when you look at a job evaluation and where should we look at, you're looking at a program that's been down. You know, they're 18 and 25 with three trips to the postseason in the last few years. They were 5-5 this past year, did not go to the playoffs. So really, when you're looking at jobs with tradition, this is an ideal situation. I mean, it really is.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Rick, for me was I could have stayed at Hoover for probably 15 more years. And yeah, I'd like to think we were going to win some more championships. But for me, if I was going to make any move, it was not going to be a move made in the state of Alabama. Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple opportunities within the state. And, you know, like, well, I'm not leaving Hoover to go somewhere else in the state. I mean, right, it would have to be something where I'm able to retire. But then I wasn't going to just retire and then just go coach somewhere where there's not an opportunity to have the support that you need. I think one of the greatest things that caught my eye about Gainesville, not only about the community, but the commitment to the facilities that they're building. You know, we're building a $40 million facility. We're re-turfing their practice field. Actually, they got half of that done already. They're building an indoor facility that will be 120 yards long, turfed. You know, we're going to refurbish the weight room. It's going to be redone. There'll be a three-floor deal where the bottom will be spring and women's sports. And, you know, then football will be the second wing. And then the band will be on the third floor. They're building a brand new auxiliary gym, a brand new wrestling room, and all that will be housed in our student athlete activity center. And so there's a commitment there. There's a commitment to do the right thing. When the season's over with, we're going to redo the home side of the stadium. We're going to redo the press box with an all glass front, three stories. And so, I mean, there's a commitment to win. But the thing is, we got to win. And, you know, winning's not made up of facilities. Winning's made up of, you know, players, coaches, and support. And what we've got to do is we've got to do a really good job of getting in there and getting our kids to understand what we're doing. Like, from day one now until probably March or the end of March till spring, it's just going to be about our three of our four pillars, which is
teach them how to be great people, teach them how to be great students, teach them how to be great athletes. I'm not even worried about the football. I don't even want to talk about the football. And so let's concentrate on what we've got to do to make us put ourselves in that situation so when football rolls around, it'll be a byproduct of what we're doing.
We're talking to Josh Niblett, your new head football coach at Gainesville High School in Gainesville, Georgia, recently retired from the Alabama Public School Retirement Association. And, you know, when you look at it, Josh, one of the things that just jumps out at me is the fact that there's an opportunity to continue a tradition that's been lacking. And you said it a few minutes ago. You said it's probably going to be some more down days. Talk just a little bit about that in the transition from changing the culture, changing it back to probably what it was like back in 2012.
Well, you know, I think the biggest thing is like, you know, like my culture, like I'm not really worried about the past. I'm not worried about what was done. I'm worried about day one. I'm going to give everybody an opportunity. All right. And so, but they've got to be willing to be committed to, you know, our standard, our process, which, you know, starts with, you know, the small things of being a great person and then, you know, by making good choices, but also making great decisions, because those are two different things. Choices are what you do in the moment. Decisions are what you do that's going to have a lasting impact on the rest of your life. So, you know, we've got to teach them how to make great choices to support their decisions. Like, you know, when we show up every day, we don't wear hoodies in the building. We don't wear hats in the building. We pull our pants up. You know, we're early. We're not late. We're not just on time. You know, we're locked in. We're focused on what we're doing. We go in the classroom. We sit in the front. We don't sit in the back. You know, we don't sit in there with our ear pods on. You know, we're not constantly just sitting on our phone worried about social media. You know, we're trying to teach them that there is a life that is worth trying to teach you how to be that guy. There's three hoods in our life. There's childhood, there's boyhood, and there's manhood. And right now, you know, these kids at this age have moved from childhood to boyhood, and it's our job to teach them and their job to learn, all right, to become from boyhood to manhood. And so we got to start making that move, and that move will be starting to be made on day one, and they'll be held accountable for it. And I think I don't want them to buy in, because I think when you buy in, I think you sell out when times get tough. I just want our kids to trust in them. And I told him the first day I met him, I said, look, man, I'm going to gain your trust. You ain't got to worry about that. But it's got to be just as important for you to gain my trust. And so if we get that mutually built between our players and our staff and our community, then we're going to do something special.
Josh, I don't know of anybody that could have said it any better. And coming from your heart, I know exactly you mean every word of that. And, buddy, Merry Christmas to you and the Niblett family. God bless. I love you, pal, and you know we'll be in touch.
Well, love you too, Rick. Thanks for having me on, and think the world of you and your family. Just make sure when you come visit, you holler at me so I can let you take me to eat lunch or something.
I heard that, pal. Take care. God bless. See you soon, pal. That's Josh Niblett. We'll be back with more Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
All right, welcome back to Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and I know I can play Boz Scaggs for Terry Canova. I mean, that got a little Cajun blood in him and a lot of it, really. And I know that he absolutely loves some Boz Scaggs. And, you know, when I think about what's going on at UMS Wright, I think about a whole lot of things. I think about the arts and the great programs we have there, and then I think about, of course, all of our athletic success that we've had. But I'm going to tell you right now, our basketball program, both our boys and girls, with Mike Knapp and with Terry Canova, has just been amazing in our past. And this year is no exception. And we want to talk to Terry Canova this morning. Coach, good morning and congratulations on another big win last night.
Hey, good morning, guys. Always good to talk. I guess when you guys invite me on, it means we're doing pretty decent. So that's a good thing.
Well, you obviously are. I think you're, 12-2 now? You're ranked number 2 in 5A. And I know rankings, and we say it all the time, rankings are just rankings for people to look at. But they still put your program out there for people all over the state to see and to know how well you're doing. But I know the one thing that you've got on your mind is you've got Davidson coming up Monday night, and Charlie is 13-0, number 2 in 7A, and Charlie Shipp does an amazing job, and I know y'all are dear friends. And I, from what I understand, he's already got the 3 officials lined up to call your game.
Yeah, Charlie and I are good buddies, and he's got a really, really good team, led by Kelsey Thompson. I had the honor to get to coach her in the All-Star game this summer. And,
right.
Man, she's a whale of a player. But I tell you, Rick and Mark, the thing that I love about my team is I've coached some teams in the past that were really good that might have been a little worried about Davidson coming in. But my group has a little bit of swagger to them. And not in a bad way. This group, I think they know how good they can be. They know we've won some big games, but they also know that we've got a lot of room to grow. And that's what's fun, man. Last night, I had a lot of respect for Bayside and Brittany Davidson over there. I didn't think we played particularly great last night, and you look up and we won by 40. We just got a lot of room for growth, but it's been a fun ride so far because we are making some dynamic plays out there.
I look at your 4 seniors, Adam McAnally, KB.
Five.
Wait a minute. Yeah. You're going to have to help me here because I've only written down 4 that so I left one out, so don't let me. Adam McAnally, Carabeth Green, KB, Avery Beasley, let me find my 4th one. It's Campbell Johnson, and then Dorsey Parker. There's the 5th.
Yes,
there we go.
Right,
so I do have them all. But, boy, you're talking about 5 young ladies that just exude leadership, and that's the fun thing for me to watch those 5. And as we've watched them grow from really infancy, it seems like, all the way to now being the senior leaders of your team, it's got to be something that is just heartwarming to you as their coach.
It is, and they're all so different. Anna McAnally, God bless her, she doesn't play a whole lot, but she is as good a teammate and as good of a kid as I've ever coached. I'm lucky enough I get to coach her in cross country as well.
Yeah.
Campbell Johnson, she's a backup post player for us. She brings more energy than any kid I can remember coaching. Avery Beasley's a kid that doesn't put up a whole lot of stats. I joke with her. I call her Big Buckets Beasley because she doesn't put up a lot of stats. But then you looked up in our game against Central Tuscaloosa last year, and she knocks down a bunch of big threes. She's the glue of our defense.
Yeah,
she's just one of the smartest players I've ever coached. Carabeth Green, she's a phenomenal athlete. She's actually been on a little slump in the last couple games, and then last night she goes 3-for-4 from 3-point range, and then Dorsey Parker, everybody knows about Dorsey. She's the anchor. She's averaging about 18 a game for us, and when you got a 6'2" kid that can run and as athletic as she is, that's just a difference maker. And I don't know if it's been announced yet to the public, but it's no secret, Dorsey is going to go to Samford on a track scholarship and high jump over there.
Right.
And so we're just so excited. And so, yeah, those 5 seniors, they really kind of are a symbol of what we are, but it's just much more than them. We've got such a great young group underneath them, and it's just exciting to be part of this bunch.
Well, and we got to give some credit. to Johnny Thornton and that seventh grade boys basketball team, because they have really got in there and mixed it up in practice with your ladies, and that's fun for me. I love to watch that because, hey, that's pretty tough competition for those boys, I'm telling you. And I heard one of them in class say the other day, you know, we've played some pretty good teams, but the best team we've played has been our girls' varsity team.
well, and you guys as well, Rick. You know, it's something I got coaching college women's basketball. You know, we always had a male practice squad.
Yeah.
And so when I got to UMS, you know, the most important thing for us is always, as we get, particularly in the early in the season, is identifying whether it's the eighth grade boys or the seventh grade boys, what group there can we find time to scrimmage against and practice against as often as possible, because you just can't simulate some of the speed you're going to see in some of your opponents. And we can't really simulate that. We can do that more now than we ever have because we're so deep and we've got so many good players. But those, you're right. That seventh grade boys is a special group.
They are special.
Coach Knapp's definitely got a great group coming ahead for him in the next couple of years.
Well, speaking of Mike, Mike's got a group coming in from you guys' area down in Louisiana. We're coming in today, I think, at 1:30. Mike's team plays today. Is it Elizabethtown? What is it, Terry?
Episcopal, Baton Rouge, I believe.
Baton Rouge Episcopal. So they've got them today. And then we've got our William Mitchell tournament. Talk just a little bit about that. Give us the dates and everything going on with that next week.
Yeah, man, our tournament is going to be really good. I don't know everybody they have on the boys' side, but I know McGill Toolin's going to be there. Yeah. You know, Phillip's going to bring a squad there.
He's going to bring it.
But it's December 28th, 29th, and 30th. But on the women's side, we've got us, who's ranked in the top 10. We've got Gulf Shores, who's ranked in the top 10. We've got Theodore, who's ranked in the top 10. We've got Jackson, who's ranked in the top 10. And then that's not even mentioning the fact that McGill Toolin's going to be there. Amanda Niehoff's bringing her St. Paul's team there. Spanish Fort's going to be there, and we got West Florida coming in. So our girls' side of the bracket is going to be bad to the bone. I mean, I'm really, really pumped about that. Again, it's hard for me to even think about West Florida right now because I'm looking at Charlie Shipp coming in on Monday. Our tournament's going to be a really, really good tournament.
Well, and Terry, I don't want to miss this. I want to talk about the Terry Canova coaching tree. Because you have got some amazing young ladies that are now coaching high school basketball. You went over to Daphne the other night, one of your former players there, one that you brought into South Alabama. Yeah, talk about those. And I know up on the hill, up north of us there, there's another one that is an amazing young lady. Talk a little bit about some of those young ladies.
You know, Rick, you know, and Mark knows. I mean, we've been around this stuff a long time. That's what's really special is when you've got former players, whether they become coaches or not, when you see them grow up and become productive adults. But, you know, the other night we played Kimyatta, used to be Viverette, now it's Kimyatta Perry, and she's, man, she's a doll, and she's a competitor, and she's got a whale of a team up at Daphne and doing a great job. And so I've got her there. I've got Amanda over at St. Paul's, and good Lord, you know, we could play Amanda five times, you know, I was telling her last night, I said, you know, I said, we said this last year. I said, if we both do our jobs, we could face each other for a trip to go to the Final Four. And last year we were really one game away. Amanda got beat by Marbury, the same team that beat us.
Right.
You know, and then, Coach, I've even got one, and you know, won't know around here, but I've got a young lady, Raven Justice. She's the doggone head coach at Sam Houston State. She was coach of the year last year. So I'm so dang old. I've got some college coaching buddies, man. It's always fun, and I'm so proud of them, you know, I'm glad. I'll be glad next year when a man is not in my area anymore,
right?
Because we'll still play them, but the games won't be the end of the season games. You know,
yeah.
I don't like playing Amanda in those end of the season games where where we can end the year for somebody. I like the good competition. I like playing her. She makes us better. But it'll be fun next year where we can play and have that rivalry game. But it won't be a game that'll eliminate somebody from a state championship.
Absolutely. Now, so we got about 30 seconds here, and we're going to talk about your podcast on another. You and I will get together and talk about that on another show. But 30 seconds here. Again, tell us about the tournament, boys and girls, next week at UMS Wright.
Yeah, December 28th, 29th, and 30th at UMS. We're going to have 8 boys teams, 8 girls teams. I think we start off on Monday about 1 o'clock.
Yep.
In both gyms. And like I said, girls got 4 top 10 teams coming. Got McGill coming, St. Paul's. Yep. Boys got McGill. It's going to be fun. Good stuff.
All right, we got to get out of here. Merry Christmas. Merry, Merry Christmas to one of my favorite guys in the whole world, Terry. God bless. See you soon, pal.
Merry Christmas. Take Love care. You guys, man.
Love you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace. In the events leading up to and including Jesus' birth, there was a wide variety of reactions to the news of the coming king and to the announcement of his arrival, which leads to the question, how have we or how will we respond to Jesus? Will we, like the wise men, be willing to disrupt our lives for the sake of the newborn king? Will we, like the shepherds, be willing to leave our livelihoods to meet him and worship him? Will we, like Mary and Joseph, be so sold out to God that we are willing to do anything and to go anywhere to fulfill the plan God has for our lives? Will we, like Simeon, have the faith to wait on God and to recognize him when we encounter him? Will we, like Anna, be so changed by our encounter with Jesus that we spend our days telling others about him? Or on the other side, will we, like Herod, after hearing about Jesus, act like we're on board to the outside world, all while trying desperately to pretend he doesn't exist and destroy any reminder of the king? Or will we, like the majority of people in Bethlehem at the time, ignore the miracle that is taking place down the street and be so caught up in our own lives that we miss out on the miraculous and settle for life without him? The choice is ours. As the story of Jesus' birth and the Bible shows us, there are many different ways we can react and respond to his existence. And the choice is ours. We can choose to worship him like the shepherds or follow him like the wise men. Or we can choose to ignore him like the citizens of Bethlehem or try to destroy him like Herod. God has left the choice with how we respond to Jesus up to us. And our choice has far-reaching implications because Jesus changes everything. And Jesus' arrival is described in Luke, the first chapter, verses 78 and 79. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us to the path of peace. And then in John, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, it says, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." The gift that is Jesus. Jesus takes a life that is drifting and gives it purpose. He takes circumstances that are dark and introduces his light. He gives strength to the weak and joy to the burdened. He brings peace to those weighed down in chaos. And above all, he is the bridge between God and man and the only way to close the distance between ourselves and our holy God. So how will you respond to him? The Bible tells us the right response to Jesus is to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. You can read that in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses. It sounds simple, but it is the truth. He doesn't force himself on us, but for those who choose to seek him, he not only gives eternal life after this one is over, but he is literally Emmanuel, God with us, who helps us to walk through this life. And anything we face, we don't face alone. What an incredible gift we have been given. And it is one I hope and pray that you accept on this Christmas day. May God add his blessings to those words. Folks, I want to thank you for being a part of our show today. Thanks to so many people, Patrick Browning, Josh Niblett, Terry Canova, big basketball tournament coming up. Thanks to our sponsors. We couldn't be here without you folks. And just want to take this time to wish you the merriest of Christmases, that you are able to spend it with those people that are near and dear to you. And remember this, it's not about what you get, it's about what you give. And Jesus is the reason for the season. And we are celebrating his birthday. And hopefully that you will be able to spend it with those people that are near and dear to your heart. And in closing, this show today has been dedicated to the memory of Tommy Lambert. Those of us who know Tommy Lambert, knew Tommy Lambert, and he will forever live in our hearts. What an amazing man he was to so many people. He exemplified that which biblically tells us of the friends that we walk this life with. And so this show today is dedicated to the memory of Tommy Lambert. And may many more people look at his life and remember all of the things that he did to help so many people. And for you folks at Murphy High School, who he loved dearly, and all of you coaches and all of you players, his memory will last forever. And may his family have peace that passeth all understanding. And let's as we close out this morning, let's go back through some of the things that we talked about today. Patrick Browning, the head football coach at Pike Road, talked about his family, Jenny and Lucy and Joseph, and we wish them the merriest of Christmases and hope and pray that that they are blessed as we go through this Christmas season. Ask that you be with Mark as Mark travels to spend Christmas with his family in Birmingham. And most of all, we ask that you be kind to others. This is a time of the season where we have the opportunity to share the love of Christ with so many other people in so many different ways. There's people out there who are hurting. There are families that are without. And as you look at the devastation that Mayfield, Kentucky has endured, that entire area is in total devastation. And if there's any way that we can be of assistance to help those people to get through this terrible, terrible time that they're going through at such a time when giving is such an important part of our life, if you can remember those people as well. So as we leave you this morning, Merry Christmas to each of you, and hopefully you will be able to celebrate it with those people that you love. But also remember, there are hundreds and hundreds of people in your midst who have nothing, who have no family, who have no loved ones. And if you're able just to smile and put a pat on their back and wish them a Merry Christmas as best they can have it, it will be very special to them. Merry Christmas, PSR, and Merry Christmas to you. And may God bless each and every one of you as we approach a new year.
fine.